Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This could, all go horribly wrong at any minute.
Hello there, and welcome to Rantcast 132, entitled Jet Lagged. That's right. I just flew in from Europe, and boy, are my arms tired. Oh, boy. I have been waiting to do that joke all my life. All my life. When will I have the opportunity? And what better opportunity when there's no one around to not laugh at it? Because I don't really think it deserves a laugh. I'm not sure. Maybe it's sometime. When someone said it, maybe early on during the first stages of flight from L.A., I just flew in from the coast, and boy, are my arms tired. Maybe then, once, maybe in a small cafe somewhere that was not very hip. I don't know. I'd have to look it up, and I don't really care enough. It's something that I've never really attempted to think about or talk about. But that's what I am. I am jet lag. Came in yesterday from Lisbon. And, you know, you think when you're looking at that timeline, I'm going, wow, well, I'm leaving here at 10 in the morning from there. Was going to leave at 10:30. I mean, and then we left at noon because, you know, there was problems here and New York in terms of storms yesterday, and then the other day, and then got in and was supposed to get in at like 1:30. 2:30 in the afternoon is when we got in. Great. And you're thinking, wow, you know, I'll catch up with my sleep. How tough could it be? But 2:30 is really, it's later there. So I'm really landing at around 8:30. So by the time I kind of get going, and starting to, you know, have a yet another meal because they give you one and a half on the flight. It's about midnight. And then golf was on, the U.S. Open. You've got to watch that. Sure, but if you're an idiot, you have to fucking watch it. So, and I couldn't fall asleep. Jet lag is not able to be awake, not able to sleep. Just somewhere in limbosity, in Limboville, in your fuck. You just kind of, when you lie down, you're not awake. You're not asleep. When you wake, when you're sitting up, you're not awake. It doesn't fucking matter. You are just, you know, a zombie. And that's
how I spent my day yesterday. And I was very, very lucky to be able to take this trip. Huge, hugely lucky, because that's what it is. I was able during my life to be able to put together enough money to be able to take this trip. Because that's the problem. It's really important for us to be able to. I had to get the fuck out of here, is what I had to do. I needed out. I needed out badly. What was going on here was starting to drive me crazy. And I'd been sitting through it way too long. And it doesn't make sense. And I have no jokes for it, because from time to time, as you can tell on the Rantcast, because there's nothing funny about what's going on. It's ludicrous. It's stupid. It's like dealing with people who are living in a different reality that doesn't exist, and they've made it up. It's like if you were on drugs. And one group of people said, we're in this, we're able to fly. And then we're leaping off buildings and falling to the earth and dying. And people going, see how well they flew? I can't deal with the fact that we are living in two separate realities. You know, call me old fashioned, okay? Because my arms are tired. Call me that. Okay, but son of a bitch, it's just good, as I have said before, to get the fuck out of here and go to a country that doesn't speak your language and sit out there in a cafe or in a restaurant or wander through a museum and hear the voices, those dulcet tones around you that are not English. Spectacular. Just wonderful. It's like the sounds of the ocean. There is no anger, no madness, no God damn it, you're so full of shit. None of that. That's what they may be saying, but you don't hear it. And you don't really feel that that exists, because they seem to be, yep, they do, a lot happier there. Not in London. They still seem to be like British, which you don't get that sense of really happy. You get that stiff upper lip thing, but they're not as crazy as we are. All right? They may not be smiling, and they may not be like the folks in Lisbon, who is? Those folks are really just overwhelm me with the joy they seem to go through the day with, and that seems to be elusive to many of us, including myself as of late. Not that joy was the strongest currency in my realm, okay? That little twist. It was really something to wander around. And in Britain, you hear it, but it's in that, you hear English, but it's not in that kind of nasty, negative way. Germany is different. That language will always kind of trigger something in me, being a Jew and having spent way too much time watching way too many, kind of these, the Nazi stuff that I was shown as a Jew. The Nazi stuff that I was shown when I was in Sunday school. Yes, they did. And you would have to sit through, and the other millions of documentaries I watched to try to fathom what the fuck was going on, and that chattering in German, which just is abrasive, it sounds, at times. And it was always like, now they have comedy clubs, but back then you thought, wow, that is not the language of comedy. I hear it better in my head than it comes out of my mouth. And they seem to be spritzing all the time, but lovely people. I was in Berlin, and so they were quite, I'd been there as a kid, 18, actually had crossed into East Germany at that time. The wall was still there. Now to return, and it was gone. To see the Brandenburg Gate in its glory without any bullshit around. But still wandering through that part of town, what was the East German part of town, not really as nice as what was the Western sector. But the language just got to me. Just too many too many films, too much of hearing Hitler's voice one way or another. Too many movies. But then on Prague, and Amsterdam. And I'm just going to tell you, Prague and Amsterdam, go there. Just go there. Go there. Go there. Go there. Unbelievable. Picture book fairy tale, Amsterdam. You can wander around in that. These houses are, you know, 16th century, 15th, 16th, 17th century homes that are on the locks, the canals, that are just stunning. I mean, I've walked there for years. I mean, I've been there about 9 times and walked in the same areas, and you never see the same thing twice. Just spectacular to walk through. And then there was Prague, which I really wanted to see and said, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to go on from Berlin. And it was really special. And there were so many statues there, just not statues in the middle of the town square or in front of a building, on the buildings, everywhere, on all buildings. Like it was like it had to be done. It was like a requirement. It was like a law. You want to build a building, you're going to have to put 5 statues up there. We got to honor everybody and every religious saint, every religious personage, everyone, every king, queen, whatever, knight. And you're wandering through areas that have this fucking history, which we don't have. And that's the other thing. We act like we've been around forever, and therefore we really know what we're doing. Okay, and you've got this whole fucking group of people. You know, you go wandering around. You know, the 12th century it started, or the 14th century, or, you know, look at this, and that was built in the 13th century. And what about the Normans, or the Norse, or the when they came in, or the Huns, and da 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 da. You just kind of stand around. But the statues in Czechoslovakia were just stunning. I don't even know. You just were kind of overwhelmed because there was so much. As a matter of fact, there were so many statues that I have to use the word statuary. And I've never used the word statuary in a sentence at any time because there have never been that many statues. And I wonder if it's even the right word, but it seems to be. And I will move on. Just the grandest of times there, to be able to go there. And I am very glad that I could. I was over there initially, drawn there because I was going to go to see the Elton John concert, and that's what I did. And then I was going to be doing shows. And I hope, and I'm seriously sorry if I did not make it clear that if somehow you missed the information that the shows were going to be canceled, or if you missed my apology. I was supposed to perform in London. I will next year. I was supposed to perform in Amsterdam. I will next year. Belgium. Hopefully I will be there next year, and hopefully in Berlin, and maybe even Prague, which was not on the list. And Copenhagen this time again, and maybe Denmark, and maybe Sweden, and to try to do one last roundup in Europe. But I really am sorry if you didn't hear that I was not going to be there. We just had made the mistake of trying to get out a special and do a push to try to get people to come out and see the shows. And it was too late. You need a certain amount of lead time. We didn't have it. And I just pulled the plug because we weren't selling the tickets. And because we really didn't do enough press. We did no press and very little advertising. And there just wasn't time. And my name is one that people go, oh, we've got to be there. We need to remind them with pictures and a little bit of spritz here and there. And like the Germans, I spritz a little. So I really am sorry about that, but we will be back. And I met somebody coming off the plane in Amsterdam, and they said, oh, we came here to see your show. And I said, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to do it. I apologize. And they said, well, we didn't come just for you. You're about the fifth reason we came, which is nice. I felt better about things and felt that I'd been put in my place. I also had the revelation of something I really didn't want. If somebody would turn to me, I'd be on some public transit, and they would turn to me and look at me as if they recognized me. And I was not recognized a lot there. hence the need for the advertising, but in all through in London and in Amsterdam, where I'd spent even a ton of time. I hadn't been in London a lot, but certainly my stuff has. And but I was on the public transportation, and people would look and like they knew me and would give a gesture, and I would, oh wow! And so I'd wait for them to say something like, "What are you doing in our country?" And they would, instead they said, "Would you like my seat because you're old? Would you like my seat because you're old?" And so that was that, and old I was, and but I didn't take the seat. It was like, hey, fuck, you know, I can stand. This is like exercise. I need this time to be standing up because God knows how much longer I will be. So it was a great trip, and I'm going to talk more about it next week. I promise you that, because there's some things along the way that I would like to tell you about, the things that I saw. And also, you know, that feeling it was of relief being there. Where, I mean, we're a country of all these states, and you can, oh, I'm going to travel in the United States. Well, once you travel in the United States, you can't get away from us, okay? It may be really different if you leave here to go from here down to, let's say, Georgia. Or, you know, let's say you wanted to go to Atlanta. It's real different down in Atlanta. Yes, it is. But you're still going to bounce back against all the stuff. You can go to Kansas City, a city I love. Dayton, Ohio, another one that I've always enjoyed. Huntsville, Alabama. You can go there. You can spend your time there. And but it does not matter. It's not a question of where they are physically located, except for the fact that they're physically located in the United States. And you will be bombarded by our news. And who's going to win this election? Because, God damn it, it's only 2.5 years away, so we better get on it now, and you better think about this. And is he going to go to jail? Is he not going to go to jail? What does this mean? Will he be able to turn the tide against himself? Will he be able to crush them and their tiny spirits, all of those who plan to run again? That's nonsense. But over there, London has three papers, three at least, morning papers that I saw in the place I was staying. Three newspapers, printed newspapers, with long, like a lot of stuff in them, as opposed to what's happening to us in terms of, let's not give ourselves any information, let's guess. And in those papers, there's very little about us, unless it's something like him being indicted. Most of it is coming through the TV, and a ton of it, of us, is coming through the TV, and that's where they see us. They're probably in on the phone, bombarded. They bombard themselves because with our shit. And so it's a little, it's a touch inescapable, but it's mostly just, you know, Law and Order and SUV and SVU. I never get it right. But a variety of our TV shows, and CNN is there, but not our CNN, more of like a mix of their news and our news. But they're watching us. They're watching us. And the one thing that they continue to ask every place I went, all the countries I went, London, Amsterdam, Berlin, Prague, and Lisbon, all of them, everywhere. The question was, at some point during the day, if not once, not twice, three times at least, what's with the guns? What's with the guns? What's with the guns? And I have to say that in London, I felt about as comfortable as I've ever felt anywhere. I just did. They are way ahead of New York in terms of having come through this pandemic, and it may have something to do with a safety net. I don't know, but they certainly seem to be further along than we are. There doesn't seem to be this kind of this edginess that we have in New York that has returned, this kind of 80s edginess where people are, needles are back on the street. And the homeless, they don't seem to have found out how to deal with them. They've had all that time during the pandemic. They had found places for them before the pandemic, so it seemed. The police have not returned to kind of secure the, to basically provide the kind of security for those coming in from out of town and ourselves. And by security, I mean maintaining it as a secure place that you feel comfortable with your family, like you do in England. And part of that in England may be that they're not carrying guns around, nor were they carrying them around in Amsterdam. There was no sense of that. But there was more trash than I'd ever seen there. And that was from the most tourists I've ever seen in Amsterdam. And I've been there at all times of the year. People are traveling to Europe. If you're thinking of going, if you're lucky enough to be able to do that, wait till next year, because right now people are so desperate to get out. These places were clogged. It was not something I thought of when setting out to do this trip. But it was well worth the time, the energy, and the effort, and I'm glad that I did.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give out crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
And I'm glad to be doing this on Juneteenth, which I'd forgotten was a holiday because it's so new that I'd forgotten. And now at least it'll, I think because of the trip, I will now be embedded in my mind that it is a holiday and an important one, because it reminds us there was a time, and because we're basically telling people not to go to the library, the kids, you don't want to teach the kids about slavery. So at least I'll have one day every year where on TV they might talk about it, or on the phones, who knows. But somewhere, with the idea that history is dismissed in this country. When you wander through Europe, you got to fucking wonder why. All right. Oh, and we don't have a lot of history. I mean, this is a nation of people who couldn't possibly memorize the history of any of the countries I went through. Okay. All of them go way, way fucking back. We go back 300 and what X years. All right. We could barely pass tests for that. And now we're saying, well, you want to avoid these kids learning about slavery because they'll feel bad. I learned about slavery. I did not feel bad. I felt like you don't do this shit. What the fuck was the matter with us? And you don't do it again. Oh, and this is why certain things are the way they fucking are in certain states. Okay? And I think we have got to pay fuck attention. There hasn't been a better lesson than people trying to take away the rights of our children to knowledge. If there's not a better lesson than the need for us to understand what we did wrong so we can do it right, which is not woke. It's just called what you do if you give a shit. Oh. And now I'm home, and now look at this, the adjutant. The adjutant's back. At least there I would stare, and God knows what it was like to be, living when the Catholic Church was strong-arming everybody in certain areas. But this is really what we do here, beyond belief. It took long enough for us to finally arrive at this, to finally say, yeah, it's over. Okay, this is it. It is done. And we shall move on. And I'm sure that there are people belly aching today about it. And because we have got to, you do not allow the kind of casual acceptance of racism that has been occurring for the past 6 years or however. I mean, it's been there, but it's not been this open. That acceptance of it, where someone who is who's running for the presidency of the United States again allowed nonchalance about it. Like, what do you mean? And that people could finally go, boy, God damn it. I don't need to put up with their shit. Their? Huh? What about your? And all of it's nuts because we are us. Stop it. I am too old to be living in two realities, and it has knocked me the fuck out. And there's no joke for it. I did the joke. I talked about it on stage before the shit hit the fan. And we wake up afterwards, come out of our homes, and what do? We're even locked more into that nonsense. And somehow these people get elected who really have developed a whole different view. Okay, it's like if you had two groups of people on acid and one group was walking around on the ground, just kind of dealing with stuff, and the other group was up on the top of buildings screaming that they could fly, and people were jumping off the buildings and literally falling and smashing some of the people in the street, and the people on the roof were going, see, they can fly, we can fly. That's not a great analogy, but it's close enough, especially when you're jet lagged. So, it was nice to fly home during Father's Day, not being a father, except that I did bring my imaginary children on the plane with me, and they were terrific. And I was a little miffed because, once again, no gifts, nothing from the little fuckers. My mother would always bitch about Mother's Day. It was like Father's Day didn't exist because they're not as important as mothers are. Going over there, I was really... reminded, as always, you don't need the reminder, but one of the reasons that it was exciting was that I got an understanding of my father's appreciation for a painter, Mondrian. I realized on the plane coming home while I was there that I just really wished that I'd asked him so many more questions than I did. Just so many more about his philosophy, which I had a good sense of from what he had told me to read, such as Catch 22, and the way in which he lived his life. But I really would like to have talked to him about his, what it was like to work in as a mechanical engineer, and whether he, how much he enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, and then how much he enjoyed being an artist, and what that meant to him and what it gave him, because his work is really splendid. And his favorite artist, Mondrian, whose work I got to see at the Tate Modern Art Museum, which was really quite something. The just extraordinary, the work that I got to see there. And it was odd, because I didn't realize, I thought it was just his work. It turned out it was in combination with a Scandinavian artist, a woman who I did not know her work at all. And they put them together in part because mainly because of their philosophies. The philosophy was really theosophists. God. Wow, sometimes I stagger myself with my inabilities. Theosophists. And is inabilities a word? I don't think so. But you can't call it disabilities, but it certainly is a little disablement when it comes to some of the glitches I've been showing as of late. Lock me up for 2 years and I come out. You go, what do you remember? Nothing. And I'm sticking to the story. Theosophists. So that philosophy, I was wondering, I think my father would agree with that philosophy. I think he would have been interested. He may have known it. But the interesting thing was is how much of an appreciation of Mondrian, which I did not have before, because I thought he was, but the originally when my father said Mondrian, that he liked the color. What did he, I said, would you like? He said his use of color, that he really had a keen sense of color. And there may have been more behind if I, you know, pursued it, because it was really, I always thought, it's got to be kidding, because these are little squares of you know, white, and some different kind of off-color white, and then red, or maybe blue, some green, whatever, in a square or a rectangle. And I never understood it. And I always thought it was very static. And then, but watching his development as an artist, which they take you through and they're not even showing you a ton of his work, because they're putting it side by side with this woman. But I really was able to get a sense of it from, and not that her work wasn't interesting, but I was really focused on my dad's idol, mentor in a sense. He did a lot of naturalist stuff. A lot of painting out in nature, hence theosophy, theosophists, which is like spiritual and having to do with finding God in the spiritual, finding God in the natural, in nature, wherever you found God, it did not matter. That was what was important. And he had made the transition from doing these kind of paintings that he did, and then began to focus on trees, and then focused on leaves, and the leaves, which had a certain motion to them. He dropped everything else except the leaves, and the leaves morphed into these squares, not just squares, but these units of color that were in his paintings. And I had never seen motion in those paintings in any level. I just saw them as very static. But as you watched it develop, you went and stood there next, looked at the painting, and you realized, my God, there is motion in this, which is unusual anyway. You know, you kind of get some sense of that in paintings, but mostly kind of in terms of a more heady, more conceptual, but this was like, wow, there is a sense of movement here. And it had to do with some of the colors he put in and the color outside on the band. And I wish that I had at that time with my dad to talk about, but such is life. The time that I had with him was exceptional. And, so that's the story from here. But I will be back next week. And next week we'll start reading some rants that you have sent in. So start sending in some more. I will be here to read them. I'll have some time to do that now. And I look forward to that, as I look forward to seeing you again. Well, at least seeing you through this insanity of the cable access studio. Thank you for spending time with me. As always, I've enjoyed being able to rattle on and prattle on in front of you. And I hope this has made some sense, because God knows I've been in a bit of a jet lag. Hey, and for those of you who've been wanting to get something off your chest, there's no better time than now. I've been saving up some old rants, but I'm looking for some new ones. So get them into me now at livelewis.com, and I'll be reading a bunch of them next week. God, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks to all of you for listening to my rantcast. If you have a rant you want to get off your chest, send it in to me at lewisblack.com/live. You can think of it as therapy, or whatever you want to think of it as. Just let it rip. And I want to thank the true stars of our show, the ranters, and the splendid rants they gave us. Lewis Black's Rantcast was created and hosted by me. Aha, Lewis Black. Our live rant audio was produced by James Salkin. Our theme song by Chris Lane. Executive producer, Ben Brew. Executive producers, Matt Kleinschmidt and Robert Kelly, for the Laugh Button Podcast.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that, and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.